Okay, today the title of the sermon is Rejoicing over Sinners Coming to Repentance.
Of course,
we're going to the Gospel of Luke. Today we're going to do a whole chapter. And that's because of everything in the chapter is connected together. Because we'll see three parables that Jesus gives. And those parables are connected to where Jesus starts.
Now,
when we deal with parables, we also need to be careful.
Yeah,
some parables, Jesus gives us the interpretation.
Yeah,
we just know what he means because he tells us. But then you have also parables that Jesus doesn't give specifically the interpretation. So we need to be careful not to go wild with them and even base doctrines on them. Yeah, just because we have the space to do it.
Now,
so how do we figure out the meaning of those parables? Now, first of all, the immediate context will tell you a lot what this is about. And we'll see in this chapter that the context will give us a lot of information.
And of course,
we need to compare scripture with scripture.
وقتی آیه رو میخونیم با آیه دیگه مقایسه کنیم ببینیم آیا برداشتمون درسته یا درست نیست.
Now, the first two parables are very short.
دو تا مثال اول.
The third one is an actual quite a famous story.
خیلی معروفه.
Now, this chapter is often preached on.
این فصل لوقا همیشه ازش موعظه میشه.
There's also some obvious false teaching being preached on from this chapter. Because there are many people who just make the whole chapter about salvation. Yeah, some people think everything in the Bible is about salvation. But the truth is that's not the case. Most of it is actually not about how to get saved. Most in the Bible is how to live a godly life.
How
to grow in Christ. Yeah, the Bible is not written to unbelievers, because the unbelievers mostly don't read the Bible or very little.
It is primarily
written for those who belong to God, for believers. And then with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can read those words, understand them, and then we should apply them in our lives. Now go to Acts 8.
اعمال رسولان فصل 8.
I want to give you that example before we start looking at Luke 15.
این مثال رو میخوام بهتون بدم قبل از اینکه ادامه بدیم.
27:31. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join yourself to his chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him.
پس برخواسته روانه شد و اینک شخصی حبشی که خواجه سرا و با اقتدار نزد کنداکه ملکه حبشه و تمام خزانه او مختار بود به اورشلیم به جهت عبادت آمده بود و در بازگشت بر عراقه خود نشسته اشعیای نبی را میخواند. آنگاه روح به فیلیپوس گفت پیش برو و با آن عراقه همراه باش. فیلیپوس پیش دوید شنید که اشعیای نبی را مطالعه میکند. گفت آیا میفهمی آنچه را میخوانی؟ گفت چگونه میتوانم مگر آنکه کسی مرا هدایت کند. و از فیلیپوس خواهش نمود که سوار شده با او بنشیند.
Yeah, so this Ethiopian eunuch is reading the book of Isaiah. Philip comes along,
ask
him, do you understand what you read? And the answer is, yeah, how can I? Yeah, except some man should guide me. And I often make this remark,
and
I know it's not popular, because there are other people that have all these deep Bible studies with unbelievers.
But
they lack the Spirit of God.
You
need to have the Spirit of God to understand spiritual things. Sure, they can pick up some good principles from it. But what the unbeliever really needs to hear is the gospel being preached to them.
کلام رو بشنوه براش کافی نیست. اون چیزی که واقعا نیاز داره بشارت انجیل عیسی مسیحه.
Then after they are saved,
بعد از نجاتشون,
after they have received the Holy Spirit in their lives,
بعد از اینکه روح قدس رو دریافت کردن در زندگیشون,
then they have actually real benefits from studying the Bible.
مطالعه کلام براشون مفید خواهد بود.
Now, and as you will see, most of the Bible, if you read it yourself, it is not teaching on salvation.
Now,
let's look at Luke 15. Read the first three verses. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man received sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying,
و چون همه باجگیران و گناهکاران به نزدش می آمدند و کلام او را بشنوند فریسیان و کاتبان همهمه کنان می گفتند این شخص گناهکاران را می پذیرد و با ایشان می خورد پس برای ایشان این مسئله را زده گفت.
Now, here's something that a lot of people probably have heard or you hear some people saying. And that is that, oh, Jesus went to the sinners. And with that, they mean like, oh, Jesus will go to the bars. Jesus would go hang out with the drunks. Jesus will go to the places where the prostitutes are. Because Jesus went to sinners. Went to the sinners. So we should go there too. Because that's what Jesus would do. Now, is that really what it says here? No, it says that publicans and sinners came to him.
اونها گناهکاران و باجگیران به نزدش می آمدند.
They wanted to hear Jesus.
اونها می‌خواستند بشنوند صدای عیسی را.
Of course, they were not the only sinners.
تنها گناهکاران
اونها
نبودند.
These were those who had a reputation.
اونایی که معروف بودن گناهشون.
Sins that were visible, sins that were known.
بزرگ بوده که همه مردم دنیا میشناختن.
Now, the Pharisees and the scribes are seeing this.
فریسیان و صدوقیان اون زمان میدونستن.
And they're murmuring.
و زمزمه میکردن.
Saying, this man received sinners and ate it with them.
آخ این آقا گناهکارا رو دریافت میکرد و اونها غذا.
How can Jesus sit down with people like that?
چجوری عیسی مسیح میتونه با مردم مثل گناهکارا غذا بخوره؟
Of course, the Pharisees and scribes are definitely not better than them.
فریسیان و باجگیران خیلی
But as a response to this attitude of the Pharisees and scribes,
اما جواب این فریسیان و صدوقیان اون زمان,
Jesus now gives these three parables.
کاتبان عیسی مسیح سه تا مثال رو به جواب اینها میده.
Now before we're gonna look at the parables,
قبل از اینکه مثال های عیسی رو بخونیم,
let me start making the point that we never ever should murmur.
هیچ وقت نباید زبونی قهر کنیم.
People enter into this place that clearly have some issues or some past. Because that should be the nature of church. Because if everybody would be perfect here, do the right things, say the right things, sing the right songs, then it means we're not reaching any people.
Yeah.
What happens when you go and preach the gospel? You preach the gospel to all kinds of people, with all kinds of backgrounds.
با کولباری بزرگ
or when you have Christians
یا وقتی مسیحیایی که
that are backslidden
که از خداوند
going back into old sins
و میرن در گناه‌های گذشته‌شون میافتن
and when they make a turnaround
وقتی بلند میشن دوباره
they may not look the part when they walk into here
وقتی وارد کلیسا میشن شاید یه مقدار قیافه‌شون با ما
but they're always welcome
اما همیشه در
we should always be happy
همیشه باید شاد باشیم
when sinners when people clean up their lives
وقتی زندگیشو تکون داده خونه تکونی کرده و اومده به سمت کلیسا
obviously we don't condone people that are in certain sins
یه سری از گناه‌های کسایی که هستن رو قبول نداریم گناهشون
like fornication drunkenship
اونی که همیشه زنا میکنه و همیشه مست
The sp- specific list that is given in 1 Corinthians 5.
Yeah.
First you repent of those sins, then you come back. And then we will rejoice. Yeah. But there should never be an attitude of murmuring about it.
Yeah.
So this attitude of murmuring is what Jesus is going to address.
Now,
let's read the first parable. Read 4 till 6 for now. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he had found it, he laid it upon his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he called together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.
شاید از شما که 100 گوسفند داشته باشد یکی از آنها گم شود که آن 99 را در صحرا نگذارد از پیران گم شده نرود تا آن را بیابد پس چون آن را یافت بشاری بر دوش خود میگذارد و به خانه آمده دوستان هم همسایگان را میطلبد و بدیشان میگوید با من شادی کنید زیرا گوسفند گم شده خود را یافتم.
Now the first thing I want you to notice here is that this sheep that was lost
که این گوسفندانی که گم شده
was part of the fold before. It was already owned by its owner.
این صاحب اون گوسفند داشته که گمش کرده دیگه.
Afterward, it got lost.
بعد گم شده.
Yeah, we are not comparing here
اینجا
sheep with goats or something else.
نمی‌وادیم گوسفند با بز مقایسه کنیم.
This is about a sheep that was already property of the owner.
گوسفندی که مالکش همینا مالک بوده.
And then the owner rejoices when he finds his sheep back.
و اون مالک گوسفند، اون کشاورز وقتی گوسفندش رو پیدا می‌کنه،
شاد. Calls his friends, calls his neighbors.
دوستاشو صدا می‌کنه، همسایه‌هاشو صدا می‌کنه.
And celebrates over it.
و جشن می‌گیره برای پیدا کردن دوباره همون گوسفندش.
Yeah. So to make it about salvation, you already have a little problem here.
اگر همینو بخوای در مورد نجات در نظر بگیریم، همینجا مشکل خوردیم.
But if that was the only thing, okay, maybe.
نجات نیست، چون این بوده
و در رفته برگشته. That 99 are left.
99% که 99% مونده، یکیش گم شده.
Is that a comparison in the mind of Christians compared to non-Christians?
یعنی 99 تا ایماندار وجود داره و 1% غیر ایماندار؟
Probably the opposite is closer to the truth. درست
بیشتر واقعیت 99 تا غیر ایماندار وجود داره، 1 غیر ایماندار، 1 ایماندار وجود داره.
Yeah, so you see already that this idea that this chapter should be about salvation doesn't really line up.
مورد نجات نیست به خاطر اینکه حتی همین عددش
it is a response to the murmuring about sinners that come to.
غرغرای گناهکارایی بوده که در اطراف عیسی
مسیح. Yeah, the Pharisees are looking down on.
اونها رو کوچیک‌تر دیدن.
It's about a sheep that was already owned by the owner.
قبلاً صاحبش همین صاحب بوده.
And the comparison between those who are not lost compared to the one lost is 99 to 1.
Now, listen
to verse 7. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repented more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance.
به شما میگویم که بر این منوال خوشی در آسمان خواهد بود به سبب توبه یک گناهکار بیشتر از 99 فرد عادل که احتیاج به توبه ندارند.
Yeah, so likewise
همون
in the same way there is joy in heaven when one sinner repents
توبه کنه.
Yeah, more than 99 would don't need
repentance. 99 تایی که احتیاج به توبه ندارن.
Yeah, there is joy in heaven
شادی در بهشت
when a sinner turns from sin.
وقتی یک گناهکار از گناهش دوری
میکنه. Joy in heaven when a sinner cleans up their lives.
شادی هست که وقتی یک ایماندار زندگیشو خونه تکونه میکنه.
Yeah, the joy that somebody is now getting on the right path.
شادی که مسیر زندگیمونو به مسیر درست
now,
خدا
go to the next parable.
مثال بعدی رو
بخونیم. Read verses 8 till 9.
No.
Either what woman have 10 pieces of silver, if she loses one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she had found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost.
یا کدام زن است که 10 درهم داشته باشد هرگاه 1 درهم گم شود چراغش افروخته خانه را جارو نکند و به دقت جستجو ننماید تا آن را بیابد و چون یافت دوستان و همسایگان خود را جمع کرده میگوید با من شادی کنید زیرا درهم گم شده را پیدا کردم.
That sounds very similar like the previous one. Here we have a woman
یه خانومو داره.
She already owns 10 silver pieces.
سکه های نقره مال اون خانومه نه؟
But then she loses one.
یکیشو گم کرده.
And she goes after to find it.
و میگرده تا اون یه دونه رو پیدا
کنه. And after she finds it back.
بعد از اینکه پیداش
کرد. She rejoices.
شاده که پیداش کرده.
Yeah, with her friends and neighbors.
با همسایه هاش و دوستاش.
So again, she already owns the silver piece.
دارنده اون سکه ها کی بوده؟
And again, Jesus compares this with sinners that repent in verse 10.
گناهانی که توبه میکنن، گناهکارانی که توبه میکنن و به سمت اون میان.
Verse 10, likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repented. Yeah, there's a joy in heaven
when
the sinner repents.
When
somebody has gone astray or turns back. By the way, we see again this comparison between nine silver coins that were okay and one that was lost. Yeah, that is not a comparison between lost people and Christians in the world.
Now,
again, what was his response to?
اونایی که
sinners coming to Jesus
غرغر میکردن که گناهکاران دارن به سمت
religious people murmuring about it
مذهبیون اون زمان زیر لبی غرغر میکردن
they're happy about seeing these sinners
خوشحال نبودن که این گناهکاران رو اطرافشون میدیدن
they look down on
که اونها رو کوچکتر از خودشون میدیدن
instead of being joyful over the fact that these people want to get right
شاد باشن که اینها میخوان با خداوند آشتی کنن
that these people instead of indulging in their sin
به جای اینکه در گناهشون الان
are coming to Jesus to hear him
الان اومدن صدای عیسی رو بشنون که صدای او بشنون
Jesus says this is what you're doing basically to them
شما هم همین کارو دارین
but this is what happens in heaven
در آسمان هم همین اتفاق
we rejoice the angels rejoice over
this فرشتگان خداوند هم شادن در این موضوع
now we come to the main parable which is basically the rest of this chapter
آخر اون فصله
which is called the parable of the prodigal son and if there's any parable known
اگه کسی داستان است که در مقدس باشه
number 1 I guess it's the parable of the sower and I think the second one will probably be this one
پسر گم شده است
که
همه بلده
and there's a great diversity of teaching on this parable
درسای اختلافات درس ها وجود داره در مورد این دو تا مثال
some good some بعد.
بعد. بعضیاش عالیه و بعضیاش اشتباهه
let's look at this parable together and see what we can learn from this
با هم دیگه نگاه کنیم و ببینیم از این مثال چه درسی یاد میگیریم
verse 11
آیه
11 and he said a certain man had two sons. Now again, notice that we're looking at a man who has already sons. Both already part of the family. Yeah, and to just point this to Christianity, how can we become sons of God? John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John 1:12.
و اما به آن کسی که او را قبول کردند قدرت داد تا فرزندان خدا گردند یعنی به هر کی به نام او ایمان آورد.
Yeah, we become a son of God by believing on him.
اگر بهش ایمان بیاریم به عیسی مسیح.
A little moment we have crashed the application here or the browser actually.
خیلی آنلاین بودن آنلاینمون کار نمیکنه گناه دارم بزنیم بسش.
See if we can fix this.
گم شدن داریم پیداشون میکنی بایسی
our internet is back let's see okay can you guys hear me
صدای ما رو میشنویم بچه
ها okay the connection broke for a moment
okay
continuing
ادامه میگی
Yeah, so we see the same thing in this main parable what we saw in the previous two. Yeah, the coin belonged to the woman already. The
sheep belonged to the owner already.
Here we have sons that are already part of the family. Yeah, what was the issue that Jesus was addressing? The attitude of the religious leaders. Looking down. On people that they saw as sinners. That they thought they were better than. And of course, in reality, Jesus calls these people whitewashed tombs. Yeah, their sins might have been as visible to people. Because they had put in great point to polish the outside
of the cup.
But inside, they were like, they were dead men's bones, the Bible says. Yeah? So the issue being addressed is the attitude.
مشکلی که داریم رفتارمونه چجوری بهش نگاه میکنیم.
Now read verse 12.
آیه 12.
And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that followed to me, and he divided into them his living.
روزی پسر کوچک پدر خود گفت ای پدر سهم اموالی که باید به من رسد به من بده پس اون معامله خود را بر این دو تقسیم کرد.
Now this is interesting.
جالبه این
and actually quite offensive.
So
the younger son says, hey, give me what will be mine.
It's
normally what you would get when the father dies. Yeah, but I want it now. It's a little bit like saying, you are dead to me. Give me your stuff. Yeah? But we see that the younger son gets what the father asks, and he gets his portion. Now read on, verse 13. And not many days after the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Yeah, so what does this younger son do with everything he has is got? He leaves his father's house. Yeah, he stops helping his father out and whatever was going on there. He goes into the world and he lives this rebellious lifestyle. And later on we will see that his brother actually refers to that, oh, he's spending it on the harlots. He's wasting all his money. Yeah, he leaves his father and he starts living like the world. Now there's coming an end to this. Read verses 14 until 16. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Yeah, so he spends all he has on this worldly lifestyle, this riotous living. Now he has nothing anymore. And then a mighty famine hits the land. Now he's in trouble. Yeah, now he's beginning to be in want. He's away from his family. Doesn't have anything. And now he's seeking for help because he's in poverty. Now he turns to one of the citizens of that country, and that citizen makes him feed his swine. And it says he is so hungry that he even wants to fill his stomach with what the swines would eat.
Now,
swines eat what we throw away.
That
what we don't consider food, that's what the swine feast on. But he doesn't even receive that. So he finds himself in a lot of trouble,
a lot of distress.
He has wasted everything on a sinful life.
زندگی پر از گناهش رو حروم کرده بود.
And this is when he starts coming to his senses.
اون موقع است که بیدار میشه.
Read verse 17.
آیه 17.
And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger.
آخر به خود آمده بود چقدر از کارگران پدرم نان فراوان دارند و من از گرسنگی هلاک می‌شوم.
Now notice when everything was going his way, he was not concerned about his father's house. It was when the trouble started hitting that he was coming back to his senses. And he's thinking, even the servants of my father have bread. Even more, even bread so they can spare. And I'm here, I'm about to die out of hunger. Now here's something that I want you to consider. Would this younger son have come to his senses if he would have still have tons of money, if everything would be going well for him, if there would not be a famine? The answer is no. Yeah. It was the trouble that came to his life that woke him up.
Now,
why do I point this out? Because when people walk away from God, not that they are not saved, but that they are not
go away from church,
they go live in the world, not serving God, not praying, not reading the Bible. It is often trouble in their life that brings them back to their senses. Yeah, when people go into sin, it's a trouble that makes them reconsider what they're doing. What goes well, and oh, I don't need God, I'm fine. They might even think, God is okay with me, God condones what I'm doing,
because
he's not chastising me. And by the way, if God never chastises you, if you are living in sin, you need to figure out if you're actually a child. Because the Bible says God chasing every son that he received. Yeah, so it's when he comes to the senses as soon as trouble hits. And here's a lesson for us. If we see people like that, don't be the person that's trying to keep a hand above the heads of those who God is dealing with. When somebody's living a riotous life, yeah, of course we can tell them they're wrong and that they should change, but we should not continue to solve their problems, to sustain them, to get them out of trouble. Because it might be God who's sending a mighty famine to wake them up. And now you're standing in the way of it. Now, read verse 18 and 19. This is what this younger brother is thinking now. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. So he decides, he goes back to his father. And he decides, he's going to tell him, I'm not worthy to be called your son. Yeah, I've been wrong. I've been a disgrace. Also a disgrace to you, to the family. And he thinks, I will just ask him if he just treat me as one of his hired servants. That would be so much better.
Yeah,
so he rehearses his story, what he's going to tell his father. Now, let's see what happens. Verse 20. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him.
بلافاصله برخواسته به سوی پدر خود روانه شد اما هنوز دور بود که پدرش او را دیده ترحم نمود و دوان دوان آمده او را در آغوش خود کشیده بوسید.
Yeah, so the son decides to go back, who is now underfed, because we know he was hungry to the point that says, I will die out of hunger if this continues. I don't think he's looking very fresh. And now his father is angry at him and You left me. You took the inheritance. You wasted your life. Go away.
No.
That's not what happened. He comes to his father. And from a great distance, his father spots him, runs to him, yeah, embraces him, and rejoices over the fact that his son is back. Now the son is trying to give his father the speech that he has rehearsed. In verse 21. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son.
پسر به وی گفت ای پدر به آسمان و به حضور تو گناه کردم و بعد از این لایق هم نیستم که پسر تو خوانده شوم.
So what is he doing?
چیکار میکنه؟
He's repenting.
توبه میکنه.
Of the sins he has committed.
از گناهانی که انجام داده.
He says I've sinned against heaven.
بله گناه
I've sinned against you.
بر ضد خدا بر ضد تو.
Yeah, remember the theme of this chapter? Sinners turning to repentance.
موضوع موزمون چی بود؟ گناهکارانی که به سمت توبه میاد.
I'm not worthy to be called your son.
من نگران نیستم پتر بودشم یا نه.
And he doesn't end, get to end his second part of what he wanted to say.
حتی جملهشو تموم نکرده پدر چیکار میکنه؟
About him being
treated as a hired servant. یه غلامت باشم.
Now this is what his father directly responds
with. 22-24.
But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe. And put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fattened calf, and kill it, and let us eat, and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry.
اما پدر به غلامان خود گفت جامعه بهتری را از خانه آورده به دوبه پوشانی به انگشتهی بر دستش کنید کفش بر پاهایش و گوساله پرواری را آورده زب کنید تا بخوییم و شادی نماییم. زیرا که این پسر من مرده بود و زنده گردید و گم شده بود پیدا شد پس به شادی کردن شروع نمودند.
Yeah, so they fix him up.
He gets the best robe. تازه‌اش می‌کنن، لباس قشنگ
تنش می‌کنن. He gets a ring on his hand.
نه تنها اون، یه حلقه قشنگ هم دستش می‌کنن.
Shoes on his feet, so apparently he didn't have shoes either anymore.
پاش می‌کنه، حتماً پا برهنه رسیده بوده خونه پدر.
And they have a feast. They're celebrating.
جشن می‌گیرن، جشن می‌گیرن.
My son was dead and he's alive again. He was
مرده بود،
lost, now he's found.
گم شده بود، الان پیدا شده.
Of course, his son was not literally dead.
واقعاً نمرده بود.
Yeah, the Bible. Go to 1 Timothy 5. I will show you an example of that. The Bible calls those that love the pleasures of this world, that is alive, that is like dead. And this is Paul, 1 Timothy 5. This is Paul talking to Timothy. And this passage actually is about taking care of widows in the local church. So read verses 5 and 6. 1 Timothy 5, 5 and 6. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusted in God and continued her supplications and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth.
اما زنی که براستی بیوه و بیکس است به خدا امیدوار است و در درخواست ها و دعاهای شبانه روز مشغول می باشد. اما زنی که در لذت جویی زندگی می کند در حال حیات مرده است.
Yeah, you have the contrast being made as those who trust in God, those who continue in supplication and prayer day and night. And then, and more things later on in the chapter, but you read it at home. As opposed to those who live for pleasure, that live after this world. And the Bible describes people like that, that physically that it's like they're living, but it's really they are dead. Yeah, that life is called dead. That life that the youngest son was living for a while, yeah, till things went downhill, that life is dead. Yeah, things started to catch up on him, and now he's back. Yeah, my son was dead, and now he's alive again. He was lost, and now he's found again. Now, in this parable, Jesus doesn't give specifically the comparison that he gave in the first two parables.
در دو تا مثال دیگه معنیش رو عیسی مسیح اینجا توضیح نمیده، تو قبلی ها توضیح میده.
Yeah, but he specifically points out
اشاره میکنه که
that they're rejoicing over the fact that a sinner come to repentance.
Yeah,
there's joy in heaven.
به سمت ایمان میارن که شادی
در
آسمان هست.
But is this not exactly the same scenario that's being described here?
آیا این داستان مثل همون داستان ها نیست که دوباره
مثل
دیگه زده شده؟
Somebody who was already a son,
یکی
part of family,
عضو خانواده
goes astray,
بوده.
Goes wrong.
دور شده، اشتباه کرده.
When he comes to a census,
بیدار میشه.
Yeah, he comes to a point of repentance.
به جای توبه میرسه.
Yeah, when he comes back,
وقتی برمیگرده.
Yeah, what was lost is found again.
گم شده بود، پیدا میشه.
And there's great rejoicing.
و شادی زیادی هست.
Yeah, there's joy with our Father in heaven when sinners come to repentance.
شادی هست در کنار خدای پدر وقتی ایمانداران توبه میکنند.
There should be joy in our midst.
شادی خواهد باشد
when sinners come to repentance.
وقتی در میان ما میبینیم وقتی گناهکاری با گذشته بعد به توبه برمیگردد.
Yeah, there have been people who were part of this church.
کسایی را داشتیم که عضو این کلیسا بودند.
Who've gone into a sinful lifestyle.
به ادامه زندگی گناه‌آلوده.
What do you think we will do if they decide to come back?
اگر فردا برگرده اون فرد ما چیکار میکنیم تو کلیسا؟
We will rejoice.
جشن
میگیریم. Because heaven will rejoice.
جشن میگیریم چون خداوند جشن میگیره. آسمان جشن میگیره.
Remember that Jesus was addressing the murmuring of the Pharisees and scribes.
اون غرغرهای فریسی‌ها و کاتبان رو جواب داشت.
Yeah, the fact that these sinners were coming to Jesus.
این گناهکارا چرا به عیسی مسیح جواب دادن؟
The parable is not finished yet.
داستان اینجا تموم نشده.
We're now going to look at the attitude of the second son.
برگردیم به رفتار پسر سوم.
Read verse 25.
آیه 25.
Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing.
اما پسر بزرگی که او در مزرعه بود چون آمده نزدیک به خانه رسید صدای ساز و رقص را شنید.
Now first of all, what was the older son doing? He was working, he was in the field, he was busy with the family business. Yeah, he was the brother that was left alone with his father. Probably having to pick up some of the things that his younger brother was doing before. So he's coming home from work. And here's this party going on. There's music, there's dancing.
رقص شادی.
Here's what he does. 26 and 27. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father had killed a fatted calf because he had received him safe and sound.
پس یکی از نوکران خود را طلبیده پرسید این چیست؟ به وی عرض کرد برادرت آمده و پدرت گوساله پرروبار را ذبح کرده است زیرا که او را صحیح و سالم بازیافت.
So he asked one of the servants, hey, what's going on? What is this party about? And he answered, your brother is back. And your father has organized this party. Yeah, he's happy that your brother yeah, is safe and sound. Now, look at the response of the older brother now. Because he's not as happy as the father is. 28 till 30. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, not my brother, which had devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf.
ولی او خشم نموده نخواست به خانه درآید تا پدرش بیرون آمده به او التماس نمود اما او در جواب پدر خود گفت اینک سالهاست که من خدمت تو کردم و هرگز از حکم تو تجاوز نورزیده و هرگز بزغالی به من ندادی تا با دوستان خود شادی کنم اما چون این پسرت آمد که دارایی تو را با فاحشه‌ها طلب کرده است برای گوساله پرواری را ذبح کرده
دقت کنیم که پسرت اومد نمیگه برادرم اومد.
Yeah, so the older brother is angry. And he's not rejoicing to see his brother. He doesn't even want to come to the celebration. Now his father hurts a bit and goes to him.
But
he wants the older brother to join. What's the response? He is murmuring against his father. He did all these things. He wasted everything. While I was serving you.
اما من به تو خدمت کردم.
I did
من
your
با
will.
تو بودم. من همه کارا رو کردم.
I was obeying your commands.
من فرمانهای تو رو اطاعت کردم.
I was a good son.
من پسر خوب بودم.
I was a good Christian.
I obeyed
your commandments, God.
فرمانات گوش
کردم. I served you.
هر هفته خدمت کردم.
I was working in the harvest field.
تو بشارت دادم برای تو هر ماه.
I have been soul winning.
یه روزم دیر نکردم. یه روزم بشارت نبود.
I have been helping out.
همه جوره کمک کردم، همه جوره خدمت کردم، پدر.
And the sinner is just accepted
in. اما گناهکاری که این همه سال هدر داده دوباره قبولش کنی؟
You see what the point is?
میدونی نکته دقیق چیه؟
Now, do we get saved by doing things?
آیا با انجام اعمالمون همه نجات پیدا کردیم؟
Nope.
نه.
But we're saved unto good works.
اما خوانده شدیم برای اعمال نیکو.
You never made a feast for me and my friends.
هیچ وقت جشن نگرفتی برای من و دوستان.
And as soon as your son has come back,
پسرت اومد.
Who wasted the inheritance of harlots?
برای فاحشه
ها. You've killed a fatted calf for him.
اون گوساله گنده رو کشتی براش.
We can be like this.
ما همینجوریم تو زندگیمون بعضی وقتا.
In this church.
تو کلیسا.
Yeah. When you have served faithfully year in, year out, you've been coming to church. You've even gone through hardship because of it. You've made sacrifices in your life for the sake of Christ. You've been doing the work. And we can have an attitude of not being happy when somebody falls away.
Yeah.
Goes into a sinful lifestyle and then it's just welcome back in. When we don't hold whatever he has done over his head. You see the point? Now, this might not apply to you right now, but if you ever fall away from this church, if you would ever, and God forbid it happens, if you ever go into a life of sin, which I hope you never do, here's what you should do. Come back. And you'll be welcome back. And we will rejoice over that. There are some people that they should come back because they are backslidden. And we will rejoice over them. And we will not look at them with the face of, I don't want you here, you sinner. Because there is joy in the presence of the angels of God when one sinner repents. The will of the Father for the older brother is to join the celebration. So, why don't I believe that these parables are about salvation? First of all, it is a response of Jesus to the murmuring of the Pharisees against sinners who came to Jesus. They're not happy that these people, they're looking down to, yeah, that Jesus wants to be with them. Second, in all these parables, we see that there is already ownership and belonging to. The sheep was already part of the fold before it was lost. The silver coin was already in possession of the woman. And of course, the prodigal son was already a son. Third, if it was about salvation, then we have this comparison with, for example, the older brother was working for his father and obeying his commandments. What does the Bible say about how we get saved? Do we have to turn away from our sin to get saved? Is it when we repent of all our sins? Is that what saves us? No, that is a work. And the keeping of the law is not going to save you. Oh, but you have to stop drinking, otherwise you cannot be saved. Now, you should stop drinking, but it doesn't mean you cannot be saved until you do.
Or that
when you would fall back, that you are not saved
anymore.
And of course, drinking and drugs and fornication are quite obvious ones. What about all the invisible sins? Jealousy, coveting, lying. You need to repent of those too before you can get saved. You cannot pick and choose. You are a sinner if you make a lie. And then fourth, we have the comparison between 99 sheep that do not need to repent and one is lost. That's not the comparison in Christians compared to non-Christians. Nine coins against one. That's not a comparison between Christians and non-Christians. Yeah. Go to the last verses. Yeah, salvation is not by turning a new leaf.
Yeah.
Nor by obeying the commandments in what the doing the good works and what the older son was doing. 31 and 32. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was me that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found.
آنچه از آن من است مال توست. می بایست شادمانی کرد و مشهور شد زیرا که این برادر تو مرده بود زنده گشت و گم شده بود یافت گردید.
Yeah, and also the father points out, hey, this is your brother.
برادرت بود.
Yeah. Okay. He says, you are ever with me.
همیشه با من بودی.
All that I have is yours.
هر چی که داشتم مال تو بوده.
You think that the younger son got this point now? That he figures out, hey, it was better. I'm better off if I am with my father, with my family.
You think
he figured it out by now? I think so. It is more blessed to be with the people of God. It is more blessed to live rightly before God. It is more blessed to serve God. It is more blessed to not make a lot of stupid decisions in your life that will destroy your life. It's more blessed to live in fellowship with God. Go to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, 24-26. This last verse we go to. Hebrews 11, 24-26. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward.
و به ایمان چون موسی بزرگ شد نپذیرفت که پسر دختر فرعون خوانده شود و آزار دیدن با قوم خدا را پسندیده تر داشت از آن که لذت موقتی گناه را ببرد.
Yeah, there's the pleasure of sin for a season.
و رسوایی به خاطر مسیح را ثروتی بزرگتر از گنج‌های مصر پنداشت زیرا که به سوی پاداش نظر می‌کرد.
Yeah, it is the pleasure of sin for a season.
لذت گناه فصلیه.
It doesn't last.
زیاد دووم نمیاره.
In the end, it's going to be proving itself that it is the wrong path.
ثابت می‌کنه که زندگی اشتباهه.
But then if you already have chosen the path,
اگر شما همون مسیر رو انتخاب کردید,
it has brought a level of destruction to your life.
نابودی رو تو زندگیت آورده.
Yeah, sometimes we can look out there and think, oh, I'm missing out if I'm obeying God. I'm missing out if I live the Christian life. You might even think, oh, this riotous life, that looks cool. But the reality is, you're not missing out. In the end, you will figure out if you go that direction that it's much better to be the son that stays with the father.
داشتی که اون پسر می بودی که در خانه پدر
بود. He says everything I have is thine.
هر چی که داشتم مال تو بود از اول تا آخرش.
Tell me, which of those two sons do you think has a greater inheritance in the end?
آخر سر ثروتش بزرگتر از این تره.
The answer is the older son.
مونده
which Christians
کدوم مسیحی
do you think has been storing up more treasures in heaven?
پاداش بیشتری در آسمان نگه داشته برای
which
خودش?
Ones will have more rewards?
بزرگی و کوچیکه.
The Christian that faithfully comes to church,
هر هفته
that faithfully serves God,
هر هفته خدمت کرده
that tries to live rightly before God.
در مقابل خداوند درست زندگی کرده.
A life lived with God is more blessed than a life away from God.
برکت داره بیشتر از اون که زندگی کرده.
And the younger son had figured this out on the hard way.
اون جوونه پسر کوچیکه با سختی به این نتیجه
رسید. If you ever have been that younger son already,
اگر شما گذشتتون مثل اون پسر کوچیکه,
you already know the truth of that.
حقیقت رو میدونید که چجوری باشه.
If you ever become that younger son, God forbid, you will find out the truth about that.
حقیقت واقعی رو به نتیجه خواهید رسید.
Now here's what you also need to know.
این چیزی که شما
if you ever end up there,
اگر آخر سر به اون
then you need to know that
باید بدونی
you can come back
and we will rejoice.
Now wisdom is not becoming that younger son.
حکمتمون اینه که هیچ وقت اون پسر کوچیک نباشی.
Wisdom is that if you are already a younger son,
منطقی‌تره
that you turn around before God has to send a mighty famine in your life. So you will come to your senses. So it gets your attention. Now, if you're the older son, if you're faithful in church, if you serve God, try to live rightly, here's your lesson. Don't be like the Pharisees and scribes who were murmuring being themselves not good people, but they're murmuring.
خودشون هم خوب نبودن ولی زیر زبونی با غرغراشون از اومدن بقیه خوشحال نبودن.
Yeah, the father said to the older son, join, don't be angry, don't be upset.
بیا در جشن شرکت کن، شاد باش و ناراحت نباش.
Instead, you need to rejoice.
پس بیاین ما هم شاد باشیم و در اون جشن شرکت کنیم.
Yeah, because a sinner has come to repentance.
چون یک گناهکار به توبه رسیده به سمت خدا.
You need to rejoice.
شاد باشید.
Because that is also what's happening in heaven.
این اتفاقی است که در سینر افتاده. وقتی گناهکار توبه میکنه.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.